You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Messengers of Good News. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
The media is always biased. Political liberals and political conservatives have both repeatedly made this charge. After dropping out of a presidential race several years ago, a leading Midwestern conservative candidate said, "What I witnessed in my own campaign was an aircraft filled with reporters who became each other's best audience." The press, this candidate claimed, was feeding upon its own negative bias. In the same campaign, a nationally recognized liberal political candidate, also running for the presidency of the United States, he charged that voters were forced to see the candidates, not for who they really were, but rather through the colored and biased lens of the press. And in a leading news magazine in Canada, a widely respected columnist further charged that many journalists work not only to create news stories that fit their own bias, but they actually even invent follow-up stories by interviewing selected citizens whom they know beforehand will support their bias, and then they trumpet this information as growing public opinion. Inasmuch as this gospel program comes to you via the radio, it is also part of the media. And since its humble beginnings in the fall of 1930, this program has never ever championed a political point of view. At the same time, however, for over 60 years, this program has not been blind to the latest events in society. It has constantly recognized the negative events occurring every day in our society. However, instead of focusing on these events, this program has observed them, often made references to them, but then we have always strived by the grace of God to point out how even in a world severely damaged by the curse of sin, there can still be hope. This has always been the message and the purpose of this program, to bring hope and help to a society that is often doubt-filled, discouraged, and even in despair. Listen now, for example, to words spoken in the premiere broadcast of this program, aired well over a half century ago, October 2nd, 1930. These words were used by the founding speaker, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, to establish this program as a beacon of hope, which would eventually be heard around the world for the majority of this century. In his initial address, Dr. Walter A. Meyer said, "Misery has come to millions who know no faith stronger than a trust in steel and stones and bank accounts. While bankers and politicians look to economic panaceas to quiet the growing unrest, social revolutionists and destructive theorists of many types are at the same time laying siege to our weakened social machine like hungry wolves snapping at the hams of a wounded stag." And so in this situation, the first speaker on the program in 1930 said, "The Lutheran Hour proposes, number one, a faith built not upon the towering heights of skyscrapers, but upon the love of God. Number two, a faith found not upon the hoarded wealth and gilt-edged bonds, but upon the scriptures and sacred promises of our Heavenly Father. And finally, a faith that strengthens a mind and heart for every challenge that life offers." So then began this ministry of the airwaves over a half century ago. And in spite of the fact that this new ministry was launched in the midst of the Great Depression, one of the most difficult periods of American history, and in spite of the fact that there were many, many pessimists prophesying an early death to this program, this mission of mercy, continually blessed by God, eventually grew into a worldwide gospel endeavor, proclaiming God's gospel of hope with broadcast stations in 133 countries and proclaiming God's gospel of hope in 33 different languages. Whenever great things are accomplished, even in the church, there is always a powerful temptation of the devil to attribute success to human vision, and to applaud especially the founders for their courage to move ahead, while many others are seeking security by standing still. Such is never the case in a successful endeavor to proclaim the gospel of God. Indeed, God does work through men. However, this mission of the air, the Lutheran Hour, the program to which you are now listening, did not arise from a mortal mandate. Instead, the vision to launch this endeavor and the supernatural strength needed to carry it out was commanded and even given by the Christ of the Gospels. 42 days after his crucifixion and 40 days after his miraculous resurrection, Jesus took his anxious disciples to a hill outside the city of Jerusalem. And in this private setting, the Savior could have rehearsed so many of their past joint experiences, but Jesus chose not to. And in this final intimate fellowship, our blessed Savior chose instead to focus upon that one activity upon which he intended his church to concentrate, even if it required tears, pain, and death to carry it out. Shortly before Jesus ascended into heaven, he spoke this mandate. He gave these gospel orders not only to his beloved disciples, but also to the entire church, even of our day. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said. Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, Jesus said, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world. Now, immediately after Jesus gave this command, his faithful followers were determined, even at the peril of their own lives, to carry out their Savior's great commission. They seized every opportunity. They used every means to proclaim that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah, that, as the prophets had foretold, Jesus voluntarily suffered and died to pay the penalty for all sin, and that after Jesus was crucified on the cruel cross on Good Friday, 3 days later, he was miraculously raised from death unto life. Indeed, these faithful followers of the resurrected Christ were so energized by what they had seen with their own eyes that the gates of hell could not prevent their missionary efforts. For them, every secular forum became a podium for gospel proclamation. And every time they were arrested for their views and brought to public trial, even these events became an opportunity to testify to the risen Christ. Oh, the faith of these early Christians was surely refined by the fire of persecution. But even this did not stop them. These men on a mission could not be prevented from telling every day what they had seen, what they had heard, and what they knew for sure to be true. Jesus was indeed the long-promised Messiah. He was put to death on a cross, and 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead. 1,500 years later, during the Great Reformation in Europe, again, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they bucked all opposition, they used every means, and they employed every ethical method in order to get the blessed faith-building and hope-giving message of the gospel into the hands and the minds and the hearts of the common man. Martin Luther would not be deterred, building upon the previous foundation of reform begun by John Wycliffe of England and John Huss of Bohemia. Martin Luther employed every means to teach the gospel of forgiveness and to proclaim God's holy gospel of hope. Envisioning the potential of the printing press, a machine which was then a rapidly emerging modern technology, very similar to the computer revolution of our day, Luther and other reformers did not hesitate. Listen to the Yale University historian Dr. Roland Bainton describe how the reformers 500 years ago employed every means to proclaim God's gospel and to carry out the great commission of Christ. Dr. Bainton writes, and I quote, "Feverish missionary activity was to win most of northern Germany within a decade of the Reformation. This success was achieved through a wave of propaganda unequaled hitherto, and in its precise form, never again repeated. The latest technology, of course, used by the reformers was the printing press. And the primary tool, according to Dr. Bainton, was the tract and the cartoon. Dr. Bainton concludes his evaluation by writing, "In all of this, Martin Luther the Reformer took the lead, and his own pamphlets in the vernacular run into the hundreds, but a vast cohort assisted him, and the printers who brought out these highly controversial materials were an intrepid breed. They risked their establishments and their lives to assist the reformers in order to carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ." Following the victorious resurrection of Jesus, the first Christians employed every means. Yes, they used every method to get the good news of God's gospel into the whole world. Over 1,000 years later, the reformers did the very same thing. And today, by the grace of God, for over the past 60 years of this century, we in this Lutheran Hour broadcast have also been using the latest technology to proclaim the unchanging ancient message of the apostles and the prophets. God is a God of holiness. God hates sin. Television talk show hosts may try to minimize the seriousness of immorality, and even high public officials may try to maximize every opportunity of the flesh. Be not deceived, however, the Bible says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Yes, according to the Bible, God hates sin. And on the final day of judgment, all who have not fully repented of their sins, they will surely stand before a holy and righteous God. Those who have not repented, and those who have not returned unto Christ as Savior and Lord, they will be banished forever to that place, described by the Bible as a place where the worms never stop eating and the fire never goes out. But my friend, the good news of the Bible is this. God is also a God of love and mercy. It is not the will of God, the Bible tells us, that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This, then, has been our privilege on this program. Over 6 decades, we have been able to proclaim God's clarion call of repentance, and by the grace of God, we have been able to announce that everyone, regardless of race or economic background, everyone has the opportunity to hear and to believe the saving gospel of our gracious God. Listen now to a few of the responses that resulted from this program's earliest broadcast. Decades ago, one listener wrote, "Every Sunday I listen to your broadcast. It is the best I have ever heard. I am in a state prison. Your message is all the hope that I have." A second listener wrote, "I just finished listening to you, which affected me so much, I now find myself writing you in praise of it." And another listener wrote, "Last Sunday I turned the dial on my little radio, and I heard your program. I was not then a Christian. Now I realize how dangerously I was living. My soul was headed for hell. Tell me what I must do to be saved, and tell me how I can pray also for my family." Responses from our listeners for this mission of mercy on the airwaves have never stopped, both by telephone and by letter. Just recently, we received a phone call from a lady in Texas. She said that her son was recently killed in a very terrible car accident. Our program gave her much help in her difficult days. Another listener wrote, "I have been ill and have been going through a traumatic divorce. I haven't been able to attend church for over a year. Your program has been a great blessing to me." And so then, as we look over the last 60-plus years of this program of hope, and as we realize that its effectiveness has been due not to the cleverness of man, but only to the grace of God, we must also remember the many clergy who have supported this program, the many pastors who have contacted and followed up on the thousands of listeners who have written this program requesting spiritual help. This program is not a self-contained ministry. This program is an arm of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is one of the many tools that God uses to locate the lost. And you pastors who are listening today, you missionaries and Christian leaders, you who have so faithfully supported this program, you need to know also that God is doing great work through you. Your efforts may not always be recognized. The labors of a parish pastor or teacher are often not as glamorous as a radio or television preacher. Nevertheless, as you labor on, cling tightly to the promises of God. Record it in the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And so then, even in your most difficult days, when your ministry seems hopeless and even useless, then with great joy recall that Jesus gave not only the command to go into the whole world to preach the gospel, but He also gave to you and to His disciples the everlasting promise. Remember, Jesus said, I will always be with you, even unto the end of the world. O Lord, we pray, continue to bless this ministry of the air. Strengthen and encourage all those who are hesitating or in doubt, and bring to faith all those who hear your gospel as it is clearly proclaimed. In Jesus' intercessory name, we pray and believe. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.